May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please have a seat. I do want to draw your attention to the bulletin today. You'll discover there's just about a full page of reflections on what is Lent all about. I will be preparing a page each week that will go in the bulletin, offering what I hope are some new insights and observations. There's also special days in Lent and what they mean. Some of you have been asking, and so there's an explanation there. And of course, on the back page, the sermon notes for today. I'm going to be looking at Matthew 4, 1 to 11 this morning. I began to talk to the children and the children's focus in the simplest of terms of what it is for us to make our way through wilderness experiences in our lives. And there are many. Some are a result of our actions and attitudes and behavior, and some of others. And the reality is that the wilderness experience for every one of us can be a time of new life and new hope and new beginnings, but there's some inner work that has to be done first. Now, I've been hearing that term for a really long time, inner work, and this is what I know, and seminarians would know, and their spouses of seminarians would know, inner work means it's going to hurt. And it's not just going to hurt you as you're going through it, it's going to hurt everybody else around you, because you are examining what your motives are for the goals, objectives, and tasks of your life. And it's going to hurt a little bit because it challenges the ego. That can be a very painful experience. What is the motivation behind what I say, do, and think? And so there are stages of wilderness and experiences in our lives that we each need to go through. Here's the good news. There is a light at the other end of the tunnel. But you have to go through the tunnel. You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You can't go around it. You got to go through it. And going through it means dealing with your fears and your doubts, your despair and your disappointments. Here's the other piece of good news. If you're on your way into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit's already there waiting for you. And the Holy Spirit's going to take your hand. And it's not a free ticket out of jail. It's a I'm with you. I'm with you through the whole experience. I will not leave you. No matter how dark and desperate it might get, you are not alone. Can that wilderness experience be a healthy moment in our lives? It can, if one understands that it's temporary. This too shall pass is an important phrase when you're in the wilderness. Or as the country song goes, if you find yourself in hell, keep running before he figures out you're there. Here's the truth about our spiritual journey. There are many peaks and valleys. It feels like a roller coaster, more often than not. And you need to know that that's normal. That's normal. But for those of us who don't like roller coasters, it can be very difficult every time you hit a peak in your spiritual journey that you realize that those things that brought you up will also take you down. And that you're going to have to deal with that stuff. Every time something goes good, there's a pretty good chance there's a challenge with the next turn. It doesn't always mean down, but it can mean sideways. And it can go without warning. But everything that goes down comes back up. And the power of the Holy Spirit is to carry us through those moments. The Holy Spirit is the seatbelt on the roller coaster. You will have the experience, but you will not fall out. To me, there is some comfort in that, that there is the sense that I am being held through those moments. The most difficult part of our experience of Lent is that we realize that some moments take a long time to resolve. Some problems need prolonged prayer to experience God's promises. To know that God is there is one thing. To know that God's going to carry us through is another. And to know that there's a blessing on the other side is one of the promises of God. The other thing we come to terms with in the midst of our Lenten journey is that self-doubt is a common experience. Oh, Stephen, you better be prepared to prove that one in Scripture. Here we go. You ready? Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." What you may not realize is that the key few words in that one verse is, "If you're the Son of God." Hear it differently. So you think you're the Son of God, eh? You think you're the Son of God, eh? So if you think you're the Son of God, eh? The powers of darkness place in your mind and your soul doubt. This is how it feels, and I'll try and language it appropriately. Can I really do this? Am I really meant to do this? Is this the right course of action? Am I making the right decision? What are the consequences of this if I'm wrong? Those moments of self-doubt can be healthy, but not if they are prolonged and cause profound loneliness and isolation. In other words, I want to encourage you to take your journey through Lent with someone that you love and trust. Have somebody nearby that you can bounce things off of. Share those moments so that you are not isolated, that you are not only with the Holy Spirit, but you are with somebody that loves you and wants the very best for you. Because the devil will place moments of doubt. The powers of darkness exist. We cannot say we believe in God, but that we don't believe in the powers of darkness. One infers the other. Anglicans have very strong language about this in the Book of Common Prayer and the Book of Alternative Services, where we talk about the good and the evil and its constant temptation in our lives. The passage continues, "Then the devil took to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. It is written, he will command angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up.'" If you are the Son of God, attempt suicide, and you'll be rescued. At least that's what it sounds like on first read. But let's go deeper. What if the inference is this? Tell everyone you're in crisis all the time, and they'll rescue you. They'll keep coming to rescue you. Draw as much attention to yourself as you possibly can, and it'll feed your ego. How's Jesus respond to that? Jesus said, "Again, it is written, do not put your Lord our God to the test." Now, I need to acknowledge very clearly that more than half the population, one out of every three teenagers, contemplates suicide on a regular basis. One out of three, that's the new stat. And I empathize, and I firmly believe that in those moments, they need to turn to the people that love them to help them through the experience because it's real. So I am not underestimating that reality, but to point out that maybe there's the alternate meaning of constantly drying ourselves. You know what we call it in our culture? How many times can you cry wolf? Remember the story? Before no one comes to help. What we need to know is that in true moments of darkness, the power of the Holy Spirit is with us and will not let us fail. Again, the devil took him on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I give you. You will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." You see, sometimes the powers of darkness say to us, let me give you everything you've ever wanted. Power, control, manipulation, anything you could possibly want, let me give it to you. All you've got to do is turn on God. I mean, really, how big could that be? And it's in those moments that we need to realize that our ego is being fed poison. And that we need to be able to focus on the blessings that God is offering us. The blessings that God is offering us. And to turn away and focus only on our faith. So what are the three things that are helpful to remember out of this passage? Number one, self-doubt is a really common experience, and you need to be reassured of God's divine desires for your life. Number two, self-sufficiency isn't always the healthiest way to go. I can handle this. I don't need God's help. I got it all together. I'm either well-educated enough, or I've got enough life experience, or I just plain know what I'm doing. And my only response to you is, good luck. Because there is a loving God waiting to take your arm and walk you through whatever difficult experience you're going through right now. Need to keep our human ego in check. We need to intentionally refuse the will of the tempter, and last but not least, let's not forget that Lent is meant to be a time of new hope, new beginnings, and fresh experiences. But first, we need to do a personal spiritual inventory. What are the motivations behind what I say, do, and think? What are the motivations behind what I say, do, and think? This may be the most critical question of the Lenten season in your life. Amen.